You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Hey, good Sunday afternoon. Welcome into Packers Total Access. I am your host, Clayton Bailey. You can check us out on Packernet.com. You can find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. If you've got a question or a comment for the show, you can send that to PackersTotalAccess@gmail.com. Now, I also want to just mention that today's show is brought to you by mercyandme.ca. Guys, if you're looking to make a purchase for family and friends, you might be expecting a little one. Go check out their website. It's easy to order. You can have the product shipped right to your door. Everything from blankets to burp cloths to fidgets, they got you covered. There's all kinds of cool stuff on that site. They're also big, big supporters of Packernet Podcast, so let's make sure we are supporting those who support us. Now, we've got a special guest on the show today, and I'm really excited to have him on. It's Jacob from Packernet Podcast. Jacob, how you doing this Sunday morning?
Man, I'm doing great. Clayton, are you aware that we have Packers football to talk about?
Dude, is it not weird? I don't know how to act. Like, I'm seriously kind of sitting back going, somebody needs to pinch me. This is strange. we have real footballs flying in the air right now.
Yeah. We've been waiting for so long, and it's like a kid at Christmas. You know, when it's Christmas morning, you're like, it's here. Now we have to deal with it, man.
Exactly, dude. Well, I'm excited about the show today, dude, because we do still have some time to fill. You know, obviously I did a pod yesterday where we broke down training camp news, and we're going to continue our segment here where we're scouting the upcoming opponents this season. And we're going to jump right in with week 7. And I tell you, man, there's a couple of cupcakes in here, right? And then there's what I think is one juggernaut right in the middle. And I know some people would disagree with me on this, but the thing that depresses me about week 7 through 9, Jacob, was these are all away games, right? Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I just want every single game played at Lambeau Field. I don't even care about the home field advantage. I just want Lambeau as the background. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Let's jump into week 7 at Washington, right? It's a 1 o'clock kickoff. The Washington Redskins football team, Commanders, whatever you want to call them. their 2021 record was 7-10. Their scoring offense was ranked 23rd with 19.7 points per game. Their scoring defense was ranked 25th at 25.5 points per game. Now, obviously, their head coach is still Ron Rivera, defensive-minded coach, former defensive coordinator, played for the 85 Bears. You know his whole story. He's still the head coach there, and why, I have no idea. I mean,
I was going to say, maybe the most overrated coach in the game right now. I don't know.
And I don't feel like he's ever been horrible. But he has never been good. Like, it's every year, it's just mediocre. It's, you know, he wins just enough games to not have a high enough draft pick to have an impact.
To not get fired, too. Right.
Exactly. And lose just enough games to, you know, miss the playoffs or at least, you know, barely skate in. It's just amazing to me. But obviously, he's the head coach. Let's talk about their offensive coordinator, Scott Turner, right? He's been with Ron Rivera since 2018, actually, came over with him. And then on defense, they've got Jack Del Rio, who's been
– Love Jack.
Yeah, I do too, personally. He's been on the coaching staff with Ron Rivera since 2020. Now, they were in 11 personnel on offense 75% of the time. They were in 12 personnel 18% of the time. They were in 21 personnel 4% of the time. Those are the three primary personnel they stayed in. That's obviously 11 personnel is the real popular one across the league. So here you've got another team that's up in the 70s. And then their run-to-pass ratio, they ran the ball 45% of the time, only passed it 55% of the time. On the surface, are you concerned about Washington? If so or if not, why? You know, tell me about – the Commanders. Is this a game that you think could be a trap game on the road? Do you think they're going to improve? How do you see Washington?
Yeah, man, I do. I actually think that the Commanders or the football, by the way, the Washington football team, can we just take a minute? And that is the laziest attempt at naming a team. The Washington football team. Okay. All right. Anyways, on paper, these guys look good. I don't know if you looked at their PFF grades, and I was a little bit surprised when I'm sitting here looking at them. I'm like, Washington, they're a junk team. They're a garbage team. Well, okay, let's look at their offensive line. Starting at left tackle, 81.2, 66.7, 83.7, 68.1, 74.9. I mean, Leno Jr. is a very good left tackle. Cosme is a very good right tackle. They have decent guards and they got a great center. You look at what they're doing at tight end. I mean, Thomas is going to be injured at the moment, but he may be ready for the start of the season. Obviously they have Terry McLaurin looking very, very good. And then apparently Jahan Dotson, a guy that I did not think was worth any of the hype in the draft. He's looking great. Ryan touched on it, how like all of the wide receiver rookies apparently are just making people look like fools. Even our own Romeo Dobbs.
Right?
That's what we're doing now. Dobbs. Yeah,
that's what I'm doing. I don't care what anybody else says. That's what I'm doing.
Apparently I read something that said something that's what's up. So it's Dobbs. You know, he's balling out. Everybody's balling out. So that being said, I mean, you know, it's Washington, so I don't quite put my faith in them. They've got some injuries they're working through. Apparently Antonio Gibson, which, by the way, I think he may be a little overrated as far as fantasy people. Last year, people said Antonio Gibson, you got to watch out for this guy. He's going to be amazing. He did okay, but he wasn't anything special. JD McKissick, I think, you know, he was a Viking at one point, I believe. He, you know, is a little bit of a sleeper as far as a fantasy pick may go, because Gibson can't seem to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. Washington, you know, going into this year, that's a weird conference. NFC East, I don't really know what to think of any of it. I mean, the Giants, I think, will still be garbage, but Dallas and Philly could be great. Dallas could be great. I don't know for sure, you know. Basically, if you look at their offense again, sturdy O-line, it's a big question mark whether or not Carson Wentz can really become Carson Wentz of old. Here's a real quick note. This is hilarious, okay? So Carson Wentz, everybody rags on this guy, says he's garbage, blah, blah, blah. He's not great, but okay, 2016, 69.9, coming out of the gate as basically a 70-rated PFF quarterback. 2017, 84.9. 2018, 79.4. 2019, 76.5. 2020 was his worst year at a 65 flat. And then 2021, last year, he's a 70.9. So here's a fun fact. If you remove his worst season in 2020, where he graded again as a 65.0, you have to go back to 2016, which was his rookie year, to find a Bears quarterback who ranked higher than Carson Wentz. So in 2016, hold on, in 2016, only two Bears were graded higher as far as quarterbacks, Matt Barkley with a 73 and Brian Hoyer with a 79.8. They played only 13 games between the two of them because Mr. Bags competitor, whatever his stupid Jay Cutler, he got hurt. He played only five games, and the five games Cutler played, he graded out as a 49.8. So I just think that's hilarious when you look back at how the Bears talk about, if we only had a quarterback, I'd blah blah blah. You had quarterbacks that were literally better than anybody you've had in the last like 7 years, 6 years or whatever, and Carson Wentz, you guys would be lucky if you had Carson Wentz on your team. Anyways, that's just a little side note, but
I love it, dude.
It's just stupid. Like, you know, I think I've listened to Ryan probably too long, and it's just
That's exactly right.
You know, I don't think about when Bears people start talking crap. It's like you just start looking at simple math and statistics, and you just kind of
common sense.
Yeah, common sense. So, anyways, you know, their defense, it looks a little suspect. I'm not quite sure. Their defensive line looks it's good, man. They're anchored by some good guys with Sweat and Young and Allen. Payne, you know, looks good. Their linebackers are pretty trash. Pretty trash. Not great at all. They have a couple decent corners and a decent safety, but you know, I don't see much from Washington, but I could, and I would not be surprised if they surprise a lot of people and maybe win 10 to 12 games somewhere in there.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Carson Wentz to me, I'm with you, man. I looked at the PFF grades last year, and all year long, everybody was slandering him because he does. He plays reckless, but it's like, this is one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Like, he's not bad.
Wasn't he a second overall draft pick or whatever it was?
Yeah, right. He hasn't lived up to that hype, but here's the issue I have. You know, he went to Indianapolis and got reunited with Frank Reich. That was the best version of Carson Wentz you're going to see. There's nobody who's going to convince me that he's going to go to Washington and he's going to play with Ron Rivera under Scott Turner. You know, like I said, Scott Turner being the offensive coordinator. What to think that he is going to perform better than he did in Indy with his old, you know, coach Frank Reich and all the success they had early on there in his career in Philly. I say all the success; it was basically 1 or 2 years, but. I just don't see it happening. You know, I think his grade will go down. I think his production will go down a bit. But at the same time, you never know. You know, I think it could be a trap game because they tend to play us fairly well. And Ron Rivera is one of those coaches that's rare, I feel like, that he gets blown out. You know, he's always kind of in the ball game. He's just like what we said. He is what his record says he is. He's just kind of mediocre, you know. Yep. But good stuff. Let's move on to Buffalo. This one right here. I have it chalked up as a loss. If it was at Lambeau, I might feel a little bit different about it. But this is at Buffalo, week 8. It's a Sunday night football game. In 2021, their record was 11-6. That really surprised me when I seen what their record actually was. For some reason,
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, I was thinking they were like, you know, at least 12, maybe 13 wins. Yep. Yeah, now their scoring offense was third in the league at 28.4. Their scoring defense was first in the league, with only allowing 17 points per game. And I do remember that. That secondary was really stout with White on the outside and the two great safeties in the middle, obviously, Micah Hyde and Justin Poyer, or Jordan Poyer, I think. That's a pretty solid defense. But when you look at the, you know, from a coaching standpoint, you know, Sean McDermott's still there. Obviously, he's a defensive-minded coach. He's someone who that – it's rare that you have a defensive coach, in my opinion, step in as a head coach and bring in the right culture. You know, you got your Rex Ryans and coaches like that that came in and they do well in the beginning because they add this bit of flair, this bit of fire. But then all of a sudden the culture just completely crashes. He's getting tattoos of his quarterback on his arm. They're talking about foot fetishes. That's defensive quarterback head coaches to me, just personally. But Sean McDermott seems like he's cut from a little bit different cloth. I know Bill Belichick respects the hell out of him. And on offense, you know, the offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey, he was Buffalo's quarterback coach. As you guys know, they lost their offensive coordinator to the New York Giants. Brian Daboll goes over there to coach now. So Ken Dorsey's going to step in as the quarterback coach. I'm not really concerned. He's going to step in as the offensive coordinator. I'm not really concerned about that because Josh Allen is a beast. I think they're going to be fine, you know, at the quarterback position and from an offensive standpoint. On defense, Leslie Frazier, the dinosaur, is still coaching somehow. I remember him being in Minnesota there for that interim. And it's like, this guy, I had not heard that name in forever. But when I looked it up, he's been with Buffalo since 2017 as their defensive coordinator, was recently promoted to assistant coach as well. So he's been there a while. Now, when you go back to offense, they were in 11 personnel 71% of the time, 21 personnel 10% of the time, 12 personnel 8% of the time, 10 personnel 7% of the time. They really like to spread the field out and let Josh Allen run the football. But as you guys know, they made a couple of key signings. If I remember correctly, I think they got OJ Howard, tight end signing. So they're looking to, and I heard Greg Cosell talk about this. He said, it's not that they run the ball a lot, but they want to convince the defense that they can run the ball and they're willing to run the ball. And it's just enough to add that question in there. So their run to pass ratio last year, when you see a high pass rate, on teams, you know, like a, you know, let's say like a Washington or a Detroit, we're going to cover in a second. I'm not surprised because, like, yeah, they were probably playing from behind a lot, right? But this is a team that really, like you've seen with the offensive numbers and the defense, you know, defense they had, they played from ahead a lot, but they passed the ball 59% of the time and only ran it 41% of the time. So those numbers do kind of hold up with what we talked about. So tell me what you think, Jacob, about Buffalo, man. Am I overreacting when I say, man, this just feels like an instant loss, or do you think we can go into Buffalo on Sunday Night Football and compete?
Man, I want to think we can compete. First off, like you said, I was real surprised when I saw that they were only 11-6, and I looked below them and New England's 10-7. It's like, I felt like they blew that, you know, that conference out a little more than that. But anyways, and then you talk about, their addition of OJ Howard. Well, you left out, they got Von Miller as well. So that defense just got a little more just rugged, scary, whatever you want to call it. And then their draft picks, Kair Elam, I believe they are slotting in to be their second cornerback there. James Cook, which I forgot that he was Dalvin's brother. They say that he runs not necessarily as hard, but a little more quickly, a little more shifty. They got Khalil Shakir, which I really liked as a sleeper wide receiver guy. We'll see how that goes. They also drafted a punter in the sixth round, whatever. But like you said, yeah, they run a lot of 11 personnel, which most people do, most teams do nowadays. When I'm looking at their PFF grades, man, I mean, everybody talks about White being so great. I think he's a little bit overrated, in my opinion. Hyde, obviously, Packer fans, we all know that we love Micah Hyde. I believe that he sustained an injury in camp. Am I mistaken in that, Clayton, or did you?
I haven't heard.
You haven't heard that? I'm pretty sure he did. It sounds like it might be quite bad. Oh, I could be wrong, but it sounds like he got carted off and people were quite worried about that. And then they got Poyer otherwise at safety. And yeah, I'm looking right here. It says Micah Hyde as of yesterday, I'm sorry, the 29th, undisclosed, went down with an apparent injury at practice. And I haven't heard any updates on that. Oh, and by the way, guys, you're going to have to basically pack it up if you're a Bills fan. Jake Kumerow, he didn't practice.
No,
I know, man. It sucks. Jamison Crowder apparently didn't practice. Those are both due to soreness, so I'm sure that's not going to keep him out that long. Oh, here's another great one. Okay, so here's a fun fact. Guess who's the Bills' third-string quarterback currently? Matt Barkley. Barkley, whoever it was. The Bears' best quarterback graded out since 2016. Guess who's the second-string quarterback on the Buffalo Bills? Case Keenum, the Vikings' best quarterback before they wanted to kill Kirk Cousins, apparently.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. It's funny, man, to see how incestual like the NFL is, especially in the NFC North, which we'll see in the next segment when we're talking about the Lions. It's like guys just kind of, there's no visionaries really in the NFC North. I feel like they're just picking our scraps and they paste it together. Like I said last week, this Frankenstein version of the Packers, and then they sit there and talk crap about us. It's like, okay. All right. You keep picking off our scraps, but you're still talking crap. Anyways, Ed Oliver, which I know Ryan likes to bash on. I was very surprised when I looked at his PFF grade. He scored 71.8, 23rd out of 109 D linemen. So he interestingly had a decent bounce back there. And we'll see how that goes. But yeah, man, to be honest, I don't know what to think. I'd like to think that we can win. I think they're giving Buffalo points. I don't know where I put that little slot there. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're giving Buffalo points. It's one of those games where I'd accept it if we lost. If we won, it's even better. So,
yeah. And, you know, to me, it comes down to matchups, right? You know, I'm trying to look at it from the coach's standpoint when you go into this game, because this is a very, very important game, in my opinion. It really is. I mean, this is going to be a great test. Are the Packers legit? Are they a legit Super Bowl contender? We like to think they are right now. Right. But when you get halfway through the season, now teams start to have, you know, film on and all that, right? The great coaching staffs really separate themselves in the second half of the season. That's why falling off a cliff Kingsbury always struggles, because it's like once they get halfway through the season, everybody's got tape on you. And if your quarterback's not watching tape, right? Hint, hint. If he's not willing to study the opponent and you've got a coach that can't adjust on the fly and he's just headstrong into this is what we're going to do no matter what, rather than doing self-scouting. That's what Mike McCarthy did so well in Green Bay, was self-scouting process was top notch. He always was willing to go back and go, are we being too predictable? How can we make minor tweaks to take advantage of the fact that other teams are watching our film and adjusting on the fly? But when you look at the matchups, we got to contain Josh Allen. Josh Allen had 122 carries for 763 yards, averaged 6.3 a pop. Yeah, Devin Singletary, their starting running back, only had 870 yards, but he averaged 4.6 yards a carry. So, I mean, Josh Allen's just one of those players. Now, here's what's cool. When we drafted Quay Walker, and when you watch Devondre Campbell move sideline to sideline, when they talk about those being the quote-unquote linebackers of the future, it's for stopping people like this. So are they going to throw a spy on him? Are they going to maybe do an outside contain? How are they going to approach that? If they do outside contain looks, then obviously that's going to affect the pass rush, which is going to give him more time in the pocket to try to pick them apart. Stephon Diggs, 103 catches for 1,225 yards with 10 touchdowns last year. We have the secondary to stop Stephon Diggs. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. Well, who's going to be the secondary target?
That's got to be Davis, right?
It's got to be. I mean, yeah, Cole Beasley's gone. They've got Dawson Knox.
They got Crowder, and it's got to be Gabriel Davis. I mean, the guy's getting a lot of hype.
It's got to be him. So, what it comes down to is stopping those secondary targets. You take Stephon Diggs out of the equation. You make sure that you keep Josh Allen contained and make him make mistakes. He will make mistakes. He will throw the ball to the defense, but you just can't let him run all over you. So I think that's going to be one of those matchups where we come in and both teams are obviously playoff teams. They're doing great, barring any crazy injuries for either team. And that's going to be one of those matchups that you sit down on Sunday Night Football. And that post-game show for Packers Total Access is going to be wild that night, especially if it ends up being a good game. So forward to that. That's one of the marquee matchups. I've got a couple friends up in Buffalo and they are begging me to come up and watch that game with them. But I'm like, dude, I don't know, man. I got back problems already. I ain't trying to go through a table. Ain't going to happen. So, let's move on to Detroit. But before we do, Jacob, I think this is a good point here to take a quick commercial break. So guys, we'll be right back. We're going to pay some bills, take a break.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
513, declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, we're back. Detroit, here's the mighty Lions, Jacob. Dan Campbell, Motor City Dan Campbell. For some reason, I was thinking he was a defensive-minded coach, but when I started digging into it, he has a background with coaching up tight ends. Obviously, offensive coordinator is Ben Johnson. He was actually Detroit's tight end coach. That's where he came from. So he's kind of cut from the same cloth as Dan Campbell. And then
Hawkins is going off this year.
Yeah, possibly, right? Defensively, Aaron Glenn is their defensive coordinator. He's been with them since 2020. Now, when you look at from a coaching standpoint, they ran 11 personnel 63% of the time, 12 personnel 15% of the time, and 21 personnel 10% of the time. So they really like to lean on that 12 personnel with those tight ends up there in Detroit. Their run-to-pass ratio was 41% run, 59% pass. And when you look at the numbers, they were 3-13-1 last year. Doesn't surprise me one bit. 19.1 points per game on offense. That was 25th best in the league, and they ranked 31st in defense at 27.5. Now, obviously, they went out and drafted Hutch, as a rookie there, keeping him in state. I think he's going to be a solid player. He was hands down my best player on the board, going into our draft party that night. And this being a 1 o'clock game in Detroit, let's just make sure nobody gets mugged before they get out of there. And let's hope that the Packers can come away with a win here. The good thing about this week 9 matchup, Jacob, is it's not like last year where, we're going to just take the starters out and just kind of take an L here and lose momentum. This should be a game right in the middle of the season where we're full steam ahead. And I think we should be able to boat race Detroit. But is there anything to worry about here with the Detroit Lions?
I don't think so. I mean, you do look at the last half of the season for them in the last few games specifically, and they seem to perk up. And I do like Dan Campbell. I know people rip on him for being such a weirdo, and Ryan's talked about how he's given like these weird nicknames to his players and stuff. Like I kind of like it anyways, but what I don't like is that the offense, if you're a Lions fan, you have justification to be like, okay, the offense could have something here. You look at that offensive line on paper, They look all right. Decker 75.5, Jackson 69.3. They have arguably the best center in the league, in my opinion, in Ragnow, graded out at 86.7 the last time he played. Right guard 68.4. Panay Sewell's coming in, and I believe his second, maybe third year coming up. It'll be 77 flat. And then again, they have Hawkinson. They've got DJ Shark on the end. They've got obviously Amon St. Brown, which I believe in the last six games of the season, I don't have the notes in front of me, but I want to say that if my memory serves me right, he was the best performing receiver in the last like six games or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they got Williams, who they drafted, who he could be one of those guys that's coming in late in the season or mid season, and you don't really know what to think about him. He's a fast guy. He's a smooth guy, obviously out of Alabama. you know, they could put something together on offense. However, I don't think they're going to go anywhere. If you look at the defense, and man, it's bad. It's worse than bad. It's hot trash. It's, I mean, the linebackers, both of them, 35.4, Barnes at a 30.1. I mean, the other cornerback is a 42.6. Arwarie, which I'm proud I said that correctly, is a 59.0. Their slot corners are 48.3. Their safeties are 65 and 63 ranked. I don't see him being able to overcome that. I mean, like you said, Dan Campbell, in my head, I thought he was a defensive-minded guy, but he's not. And Hutchinson, as much as I think that he's going to be a good player, he's one guy.
Yeah.
And he's got small arms. Apparently, that was his big knock on him and all this kind of stuff. We'll see what happens when he's going against real guys like Bakhtiari, hopefully, and you know, other real good tackles that know how to stick their arm out and stop him from being able to swipe or do any of the hand movements, do any of the kind of stuff that he's good at getting around the quarterbacks. And I don't fear the Lions, man. And one of the guys that I thought could be very promising for them was Josh Pascal, which I believe, is that a Kentucky guy?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he looks like a freak, honestly. When I was a little bit afraid when I saw that they got him, I thought he could be possibly better than Hutchinson. He's hurt. He had to have hernia surgery, I believe. So his timetable's a little iffy. They have one fullback on their team, and he's hurt. So it just made me think about like how that transition of fullbacks, you know, that used to be, I remember William Henderson, obviously John Kuhn, and now it's like teams don't have fullbacks anymore. Anyways, it's just kind of funny how that ends up. But mm-hmm. when I look at the way that they drafted, you know, I don't know. Obviously you got Hutchinson coming in. He's going to make immediate impact, but Jameson's not. And Pascal's hurt, or Pascal, whatever his name is. And then their fourth round pick, Kirby Joseph, the safety, right now he's slotted in as a third string strong safety. So that's not exactly what you want for immediate, you know, talent. And then real quick, let's look at who they have on their team. Tim Boyle's their backup quarterback. Heyo. Jamal Williams is their backup running back. And I did not even think to look at this, but do you know that Devin Funchess is their fourth ranked, or I'm sorry, their fourth string tight end right now in the Lions?
Yeah, I had heard that they had converted him to tight end, which he's just grasping at straws now. I mean, yeah, that
there's a Claytonism there somewhere. He's grasping at something. Come on, give me something.
I can't
come more up. Desperate than a something. I don't know. I can't figure it out.
Yeah, dude. When it comes to the running game, too, DeAndre Swift, in my opinion, is one of the most overrated running backs in the league.
Just gonna say that. Yep.
I don't think he's horrible, but people talk like he's this dynamic. I mean, yeah, he had 62 catches for 452 yards last year, with two touchdowns. But you know, running the football, he barely cracked 4 yards per carry, and he split carries with Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams is exactly what you expect him to be. If you need 3 yards, Jamal Williams will get you 3 yards. If you need exactly 6 yards, Jamal Williams will get you 3 yards. That's just the way it is. I love Jay Boogie, but I think he is a serviceable, a really good change of pace backup back, but he is not a 1-2 punch like we have in Dylan and Aaron Jones. Right. No stretch imagination. So I don't think we have anything to worry about, man. I was just kind of looking here. You know, Jameson Williams obviously comes into it, wide receiver. I think you mentioned that from Bama. You know, him, you know, kind of battling injuries in the past and that type of thing. I'm not really worried about a rookie wide receiver coming in.
He seems too frail to survive in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, he's 6'1", but he's only 179 pounds. I mean, that is
a stick figure, bro.
Yeah, that is tiny, dude. He's going to get crushed in the NFL. Yeah. Unless they, you know, beef him up a little bit. But like I said, Josh Pascal coming out of Kentucky, 6'3", 268. Kirby Joseph, pretty solid third round pick there, I believe. I had him pretty high on my board.
Fourth rounder.
Yeah. Oh, is he a fourth rounder?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I just don't see anything really here to worry about, especially, like I said, it being midseason. We should have plenty of momentum by then. Just got to go in there, not overlook them, and get the job done. So I think we come out of that stretch, in my opinion, 2-1, you know, beating Washington, probably taking an L to Buffalo unless something crazy happens between now and then. Of course, you've seen the video of them fighting, right? Did you see that?
Yeah.
Tensions are a little high. All because Josh Allen got shoved at the end of a quarterback run play, right? You know, he looked like he ran a quarterback draw in the red zone. He's got a red jersey on. First of all, why are you running quarterback draws with a red jersey? Like, this makes no sense to me. You got everybody piled up in the middle trying to wedge inside the 10 or wherever it was. And then he gets shoved in the back and he turns around and says, "You're not going to effing shove me." Shut up, dude. You just got the bag. Like, quit being a baby. That's just the way I see that. I seen that video and I was like,
it's your teammates. You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing?
And on top of that, like I said, first of all, why is the coaching staff running a quarterback draw?
That'd be
different if it was walkthrough. If it was, okay, look, here's the gap we're looking for. You lock up with him. We're just going to kind of walk through this play. But it looked like an all go play. Everybody's 100%. And they're going to run a quarterback draw and then get mad that someone touches them. That cracked me up, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's your, you know, scouting of the other teams there, week 7 through 9. We'll jump back into it next week, week 10, and kind of work our way through. And by the time we finish this, it's going to be time for real football. I know I'm really excited about the Packers Total Access post-game show. We're working on some stuff. We're actually going to do a test today and test out a new system to where we're hoping that we can get a live feed of that show on Twitter for you guys. So as soon as, you know, the Packers game is over, you'll have an audio to listen to on Twitter before the podcast actually drops. I know I like to listen to that stuff on the fly as well. But before we get out of here, Jacob, I want to talk a little camp with you, man. You know, I've been breaking down some of the tweets. Ryan's been doing the same thing. And I wanted to get your opinion on camp up to this point. I've got a quick soundbite where Preston Smith talked yesterday, and I'm going to play it real quick. And then we're just going to jump into a little camp talk before we get out of here.
How fun is this camp compared to the past? Because, I mean, these guys are talking best team ever, defense, man. You guys are going to get after it?
Yeah, man, it's a lot of trash talk, a lot of confidence, man. You just feel it. You just feel the energy in the rooms when we go to meetings and out there at practice. Guys feeling confident, guys playing real fast, guys playing at a high level, and guys playing together. We're just trying to stack our days, build off of it, and just keep moving forward.
What are your impressions of Rashawn early on this campus? He's been pretty impressive to our eyes. What has he been to your eyes?
Man, he's been impressive since he's been here, man. Just to see Rashawn's grow from a rookie to now, it's just very impressive, man. We just seen what he did last year, man, and I called it. You know, I did call it early in the offseason. And he just keep on stacking those years. He keep coming in, working hard, man. He's grown into a leader of his own. He's grown into his own, man. He's getting a tremendous confidence. He's going there playing on a high level, and he's being real consistent with it.
What do you want to call him?
Love it. So I played that because of what he mentioned about Rashawn Gary, and I didn't want this to be real structured, Jacob. I just wanted to kind of sometimes I think the most honest answers you get out of people, and I know it definitely applies to me, is when you just ask a question and say, what's the first thing that comes to mind? And for me, when we're talking about training camp up to this point, we're like 3-4 days in, right? It's very, very early. But Rashawn Gary's leadership is really shining through for me. That's one of the things that stand out. Romeo Doubs is like, it's one thing to have one good day. It's another thing to have, he had a couple. Every time he's on the field, people are talking about him flashing and mossing people and winning those 50-50 balls. Like I played a soundbite yesterday of Randall Cobb talking about that's something you can't coach, right? Jordan Love is another one just right off firsthand. It seems like everything I'm seeing with Jordan Love, couple underthrows here and there, but for the most part, seems like he's having a good camp. It's all positive stuff coming out. Much, much different from last year. And I think it's becoming more evident why they went ahead and let Kurt go, because, you know, he was a fan favorite. As much as we talk about, you know, in the past, Jacob, they talk about like Cam Newton. They had to let Cam Newton go in New England because they didn't want the locker room gravitating around him. Well, it's kind of the same thing when it comes to scout team and even a backup quarterback. You got to get that guy out of there if he's not in the future plans, as much as I love Ben Kurt. But it seems like Jordan Love's really stepping into that. And from a negative standpoint, every time one of these receivers are making a freaking play, is it just me or does it seem like Stokes is the one getting burned? So that kind of throws a red flag up on me. Every time it's, oh, man, so-and-so went up over Stokes and made a play, and I'm going, holy cow, wait a minute. Stokes is supposed to be good. As much as I love this receiver talk, Maybe they're gassing up the receiving room. I don't know, but it kind of has me a little bit raising my eyebrow on Stokes. So it sounds like he's having a little bit of a bad camp. But on the surface, how do you what's the first thing that comes to mind with this camp so far?
Man, I'm just so excited it's here, first of all. So I'm like, I'm not trying to hate on anyone or anything like that. One of the first things that struck me was listening to your podcast yesterday and listening to Quay Walker. My Lord, is there a more humble man in the world? He just sounds like if Curly Lambeau could cut a modern day player and then cut an interview, he'd say exactly what Quay Walker just said. You know, like basically they asked him like, what are you good at? He goes, nothing. I need to improve on everything. And they're like, well, what are you bad at? And he's like, everything. I need to improve on everything. Like, as they're telling him, like, you look amazing. You're flashing around. Devondre says you're awesome. And he just says, nope, I have to earn it. Like, I just loved it. He was robot, like Terminator, just don't give me any credit until I earn it type guy. And again, then you look at the offensive side of the ball, Romeo. I mean, we're out though, Romeo. I just think that it's amazing. And I'm really, really, really excited for Juwan Winfrey. I know that nobody's really given this guy a lot of credit. I told you about, I don't know, a couple different times that I really do feel that this guy is going to make the team. I think he's going to be a very big contributor. And the reason for that, I don't remember exactly. I may have said it on the podcast. I saw an interview with him and he said verbatim that the GM or that the organization, the head office told him that they see in Winfrey what they saw in Davante Adams. And I don't think that he would lie about that on camera. I don't think that he would literally, like, that's so easily fact checkable. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that he would put himself out there and say something so stupid if he didn't have that actual backing from the front office. So that being said, I'm really interested in the offensive line movement. Like you said, you know, we got guys that are flipping around, and I really don't like the Packers Twitter sometimes, which I was a Twitter virgin for a while because I just didn't like all the hate. And now, you know, you see some of the guys that are these big name guys, they're talking all this smack about how could you even dictate, you know, what the lineups look like in the first couple practices. Well, obviously because the coaches put them that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you not look at that and see some sort of indication as to what they're thinking? So seeing Tom at left tackle, seeing, you know, Hanson at right guard, seeing all these different pieces, and obviously they're playing around and they want to see where these pieces are going to fit. And I think it's so interesting to watch that. Like, for anybody to scoff at that, I think is, I don't know, they're just looking for clicks in my opinion. But and another one is the third running back battle. I'm so intrigued by that. You know, I love Kylan Hill. I want the guy to make the team in a way. I like Patrick Taylor a lot. I really, really like the other two guys, Goodson and Baylor. They just seem shifty, and to the point where people are talking about them. Like, nobody talks about the possible third string, you know, running back. And as a fantasy lineup kind of guy, when I'm looking at it, you think AJ Dillon, Aaron Jones, and that's it. But if one of those guys were to fall off, I'm thinking, like, who is going to fill that void? And obviously we don't want anything to happen to those two guys. But if something does happen, you have to remember, like, are they looking for a guy that's going to be like a bruiser, or looking for a more Aaron Jones type that can kind of wheel out and do some more shifty things? It's just really interesting to see what they're going to put together. And then, you know, I'm just excited, man. I'm so happy just to see football happening. I'm geeking out.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. And the running back position, I've got my draft board back here set up. And what I've basically done is, you know, horizontally, I have all the positions listed. And then I've got the players, you know, in the order of depth chart that I have them at right now. And then I've got a red line of the cutoff point of how many of those players at that position the Packers actually carried last year. And the running back position is the one that stands out, just only carrying three running backs, right? And, you know, I've got Hill written in red because obviously the injury. I think one thing that will help him, if he's not ready for the you know, the season opener, which they, you know, from what I'm hearing, you know, with people that were on the sidelines at Radnitsky Field, they're talking like Kylan Hill looks like he's 100%. Obviously, he's not practicing.
He looks good. Yeah.
He looks like he's ready to go. But if you do have to start him on the PUP list, then maybe that gives you a little bit of time with Taylor and Goodson to see what they can do.
Right.
You know, and I'm with you, you know, Patrick Taylor being kind of that bruiser type. And then you've got Goodson that couldn't be, you know, more diametrically opposed, you know, as far as build. So I don't know, man. It's one of those things, too, that it all comes back to special teams as well. Who's going to be the bigger special teams contributor? In my opinion, I don't think that's Taylor, you know. Of course, unless he's helped gunning, you know, on kickoffs and things like that, I don't know. I'm not that much of a special teams guru to kind of pick that stuff out early in camp. But, yeah, it's going to be fun to kind of see how everything unfolds, man. I mean – Elton Jenkins, is he going to be ready for week one? I think we're getting more and more comfortable with Bakhtiari. It feels like he's going to be ready to go. They're just being really cautious.
Did you see them both running drills? And they looked
great, didn't they?
Tanyan, Hill, Jenkins, Bakhtiari. I mean, they were making cuts, and they weren't like little dainty cuts. You know what I mean? They were sending it, it looked like, a little bit.
Yeah, and I think the thing that might kind of stick out to me is last year we carried five linebackers, right? And if you're looking to, you know, to carry one extra player at another position.
Inside linebackers, you're saying?
Yeah, inside linebackers. Maybe they only carry four this year, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I'm looking at it and I'm going, you know, if I had to pick between
Summers gets cut, you think?
Yeah, that's what it looks like, yeah.
Ty's the only guy that responds to me on Instagram.
Ty, put it together, man. We need you.
Come on, man. He caused a fumble like day one, I think, on the
Well, I'll tell you this, you're gonna get the best version of Ty, because there's so much competition that, you know, he knows he's really got to step up, and I want to like the guy. I want him to make the roster, but at the same time, man, when you look at it, this team's pretty freaking loaded, man. Dude, if Quay Walker ends up,
it's really fun to watch. Like, we're busting out of most positionals, you know.
And Heflin, I think Heflin's probably gone this year. You know, Ford, I think you take Ford over Heflin just for the body size the fact that you've got that 4-year contract on pretty much a minimum deal, you know, as far as salary cap hit. And that stuff's kind of looming large over the next few years as far as salary cap is concerned, which I'm still amazed at how people are reporting these contracts, man. I mean, like the other day, who was it? It was someone that got extended. Oh, Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray gets extended, and they're reporting the contract, the total contract. And it's, you know, that's the way, in my opinion, that's how it should be reported. Aaron Rodgers, they still refer to him being the most expensive quarterback, and they're saying, yeah, $50 million a year. It's not $50 million a year. The 3-year extension aspect was $50 million per year, but the overall contract is not $50 million. It broke. Right. My mind, dude. And again, we don't know the ramifications of if he retires within the next 3 years, or just people putting nuggets out there saying if he does retire, you know, after this year, then it's minimal, you know, minimal hit for the Packers moving forward. No one has the answers. And when you ask those questions, all of the doom and gloom experts go completely silent. It amazes me.
Well, and it's funny too, because correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I've ever seen Aaron Rodgers having more fun at camp than it seems. Have you seen that clip of him and Bakhtiari in their little go-go wagon just jamming out? Like,
it's not one clip either. It's like,
oh, there's a ton of them.
People are randomly finding them parked somewhere, dancing in a parking structure.
Yeah, they're not doing it for cameras. They're doing it because they're having fun.
Exactly. I think he's got a few years left in him.
I think
least 2, maybe 3 years. And when it comes to the third year, if he decides to keep on playing until he's 135 like Tom Brady, then they'll do some kind of restructure of the contract. That's what it feels like to me. And those are the questions that people can't answer. You know, I don't want to name drop, but I sometimes I scroll Twitter and I go, you don't know what the heck you're talking about. And you try to put out just enough information to pretend like you're smart. And then when the tough questions are asked, you go completely blank. It cracks me up. So Rodgers is having fun. You know, another thing that was mentioned, I think it was Ryan mentioned it. Maybe you mentioned it on the Packers After Dark with a question. I can't remember who it was, but they were talking about how they're no longer at St. Norbert. You know, they're letting the veterans go home and sleep in their own bed. And
that was Ryan. Yeah.
Yeah. LaFleur said, you know, hey,
if
I told
you screw them, up, you screw like you'll up, be back in a hotel or a dorm or whatever. Yeah.
Right. But the you can just tell the vibe with the players is everybody is having a freaking blast. Jair Alexander out there on the field pumping the crowd up. Did you see that video?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Put that straight in my veins. Jair is a spark plug. Love that dude. So anyway, anything else you want to add to the camp talk before we get out of here?
Man, I don't do you know what I should do? We should plug the Packers After Dark phone number, which is, if you guys ever want to call in, the Pack Daddy's doing a I think it's a nightly show, depending on the call volume. any questions you got, like we said, obviously Packer related, or it's still off season, so we're still talking food every now and then, stupid stuff like that. I want to get over that. I'm sick of that. So let's just talk football. So it's 608-501-0718. Again, 608-501-0718. It'll just quickly, you'll get like a quick message from Pack Daddy, and then it whoop, goes to it. So get ready, because it comes at you fast.
Yeah, it's hilarious you said that about talking football, because the show will have me cracking up, dude, with the Tom calling in. Oh my god, what, it's gold. Tom, all of a sudden,
how does Tom have a job? He's always calling.
And then Jacob pops on all of a sudden, right? And it's, how do you feel about our defensive front? I mean, do you think I'm like Jacob's serious? Always bringing it back to football, and I love it, man.
Trying.
But you know, that's the beauty of that show, right? Is it's an opportunity for people to call in and talk about whatever they want to talk about. And I told Ryan the other day, I said, man, it's become my favorite listen. I'm not trying to dog, you know, Packernet podcast at all. I love it. It's something that's been, it's always going to be on my app, my media player. Mm-hmm. But man, when I log on, I go, oh crap, there's a new Packers After Dark.
Yeah.
Put that in the cycle here.
You know, what's really incredible, and what's a testament to the guys we work with, is that I went from, you know, I listen to maybe 10 to 12 podcasts a day. Just, I've always been that way. I want to consume as much information as I can. And now my main playlist is you, Ryan, JJ, Sam, the Packers draft. You know what I mean? Like, it's so cool that half of my day is filled with people I work with. And I think we sell ourselves, like, I don't even realize the amount of fan base we have. So thank you guys so much. Cause I mean, spanning across like 60 countries, I mean, it's pretty awe-inspiring and incredible to think of what we've built here. And obviously that's a testament to Ryan and to those guys, and just absolutely pumped to be able to talk football and that you guys care. So.
Yeah. And what's cool is we've got another interview tomorrow with Irish Packers Twitter account. They've got their own podcast. And do they talk X's and O's? They talk Pat Kerwin's Take Your Eye Off the Ball. They're right down my alley. Obviously me being a redneck Irishman from Kentucky, you know, my family came and settled in southeastern Kentucky, but we were all Scottish Irish and all that. But
country potatoes,
yeah. Oh, dude, you can taters. Say it right, taters, bro. But I watched a special one time, and they actually talked about the redneck accent, that Appalachian accent, and how it developed from the Irish and Scottish immigrants and their accent, how it morphed into what it is. So that was really cool. I did not see that coming at all. But you were talking about the Packernet podcast, you know, family and all the shows we got. And I couldn't agree more, man. It's what my playlist consists of now. And that was the goal, was to give everybody the angle they want on what kind of podcast content they like, right here within the Packernet podcast, you know, family. And, you know, Jacob hasn't mentioned it yet, but I'm going to do a small plug, just a light promotion here. But he has his very own podcast that's going to be dropping soon. And I know this isn't my cup of tea. I'm just going to be 100% upfront and honest. But I know how popular fantasy football is. So Jacob is going to head up the Packernet Podcast Fantasy Football Show. And I don't know if that's going to be the exact name. I haven't talked to you guys. But, dude, I am excited for you, man. You deserve it. You're going to be entertaining. I know you're going to bring information, dude. You stretch me every time we do a pod together, trying to come up with facts and little details and statistics. I love it, dude. We're kind of cut from the same cloth there. But anything you want to say about that? I know it's early. I know it's early, and I kind of put you on the spot here. But tell them a little bit about what you see that kind of turning into.
Well, yeah, and it's not a guarantee, but I got a couple of buddies of mine, Justin, who works with the Packernet podcast, the guy that does graphics, which, by the way, could not be a better guy. When I got on the scene doing Instagram and stuff, I didn't even know Justin was working for us. So I started dabbling with graphics, and all of a sudden, you know, this guy, he starts giving me like pointers, like, hey, this is, you know, like, other than being like, this is my territory, he's like, here's how you can be better. And this is what I do. This is just a great guy. And then we got another guy, Tony, a buddy of mine, one of my best friends that I've been friends with for the last 15 years. Was at his house watching the Packers win the Super Bowl against the Steelers. I mean, diehard Packer fan. The guy's got a horseshoe lodged up his butt. He's the best gambler I've ever met in my whole life. So we're kind of going to look at that verse, you know, put that towards the fantasy perspective. And we're going to be, you know, breaking down just the ins and outs, starts and sits, you know, just draft strategy before, you know, the season actually starts. There's so many different options you can do: best ball, standard scoring, PPR, half PPR, dynasty leagues, all that kind of stuff. So the content is endless. Basically, we're just going to break down the NFL from week to week, see what it looks like for upcoming matchups. If that sounds like something you guys are into, we're definitely going to try and get it done. It'd probably just be maybe once a week kind of thing. We're going to try to maybe do two if we have to deal with certain like waiver wire type stuff. But yeah, it's all in fun. We're not experts. We're not trying to take ourselves too seriously. It's going to be, we're going to have one of our buddies come on who tracks his bets for the last like 3-4 years, a guy named Paul. He's a Vikings fan and he sucks. So basically whatever he puts on, we're going to put it up a spreadsheet, whatever Paul bets. If you bet the opposite, you're pretty much likely to win. So
dude, that is
awesome. That's kind of what we're thinking of doing.
So yeah, I got to tune into that. That's some inside information.
Yeah.
I love it, dude. Love it. All right. Well, we're going to get out of here. And as we do, we just want to do a quick plug. Monday Night Football giveaway, guys. We're giving away one indoor club seat to the Packers Rams December 19th matchup at Lambeau Field. It's going to be indoors, $500 in value, right on the front row. You got plenty of leg room. You got a ledge to put your drink on. You're at a cold weather game at Lambeau, 67 degrees inside. The cleanest bathrooms in the freaking place right behind you. Concessions everywhere. Jacob, you're going to learn real quick because Jacob's going to be there with us. You're going to learn real quick, bro. I go from cold beer to cheese curds to Reese Pieces, back to cheese curds to a brat, back to the cold beer, back to the Reese Pieces, dude. When I'm watching football, I'm cutting weight right now, right? I'm getting ready for that trip to Lambeau because I'm going to eat my freaking face off that whole week. Best food in the country up there in Wisconsin. So if you guys want to have a shot at winning that ticket to come up there and hang out with us, all you got to do is go to my Twitter account at Packers_access. There's a tweet that's pinned at the top of the page. All you got to do is follow that account and retweet that tweet, and that will enter you into the contest. And we're going to be giving that away here within the next week or two. And we're really excited about announcing who the winner is. We're just going to do a randomizer. Like I said, we had some people that contributed to a GoFundMe. That aspect has now gone. You have some people with multiple entries. They just absolutely blew our mind helping Drew get his seizure service dog goal hit there. And it's going to be fun, man. We're going to get to hang out and watch the football with a listener, Jacob. It's going to be a good time. So with that being said, guys, we're going to get out of here. Thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with us. We really appreciate it. You could be doing anything, and you're choosing to hang out with these two knuckleheads, Mr. Beard and Mr. Redneck. We don't take it lightly. So as always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world, and go Pack, go.
Third down, inches to go. The Vader, 17 to 14. Cowboys out in front. Dyer begins the count.
Say it with me, Jacob. Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Oh, man.
That was fun.